stand. Remain standing for the call to worship. We have gathered here to celebrate the lives of those who have served faithfully through the years and now share the triumph of Christ. Let us rejoice, for God's grace has brought us near. By God's grace, we have been saved. Blessed be God's glorious name. You may be seated.
as we gather today, let God's word give us guidance from the book of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Friends, we have gathered here today to praise God and to remember those faithful people that have gone before us and helped us to strengthen our faith. May God grant us grace. Today, as we remember and celebrate, we invite family and friends to stand as a loved one's name is read. In faith, we celebrate the lives of Paul Busfield, Arthur Brent, George Brighton, Priscilla Cameron, John Cornish, Charles Cowell, Jr., Charles Fix, William Geiger, Max Hall, Vincent James, Clarence Lott, Richard Pearson, Prentice Pentecoff, Joseph Ricks, Carol Robinson, Laura Thayer Fife Barrett, Dorothy Boom, Margaret Brown, Pearl Delahook, Ruth Draper, Sue Frank, Nina Gant, Eleanor Haywood Garrett, Cletus Leo Hansel, Arnold Kenyon, Dorothy Lay, Marjorie Lippincott, Luella Hart McBride, Mary Diane Metz, Irene Page, Thank you. Teva Patat. Joy Tharp. Lorena Tinker. Inez Underhill. Kathy Van Wert.
Let us all stand. Let us all stand in remembrance of these, our friends and our colleagues in ministry. Likewise, we mourn the loss of our faithful Christians who passed away this past year. Let us remain standing in remembrance of the laity.
We mourn the following local churches that have closed in the past year: Homer, Des Moines, Capitol Heights, Highland, South Bethel, Pleasant Prairie, Jefferson Center. Join me in prayer. God of both the living and the dead, we praise your holy name for all your saints who have faithfully lived and died. We thank you for the sacred ties that bind us to those unseen, who encompass us as a cloud of witnesses. We pray that, encouraged by their example and strengthened by their fellowship, we may be diligent followers, and that nothing will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, I want to invite you, as we share now in our offering, to give as God has blessed you. The offering for this evening's service will go towards Nothing But Nets in a summer initiative this June and July to blanket the country of Sierra Leone with mosquito-treated bed nets to save the thousands of lives of children and young adults in the African country of Sierra Leone. We ask that you give as God has blessed you for Nothing But Nets, the summer initiative to provide nets in the country of Sierra Leone.
Justice.
Reverend Karen Nichols Dungan is assistant to the Bishop for Connectional Ministries. A servant leader of the Iowa Annual Conference, Karen is a lifelong Iowan, a proud graduate of Coe College and United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities, where she received her Master's of Divinity degree in 1985. She has given leadership as a pastor, a conference superintendent, and most recently in her current position. Much of her energy, continuing education, and passion have been focused on spiritual formation and leadership development. Karen believes God is inviting us to open our eyes to the world around us and to think imaginatively about how we are called as lay and clergy to ministry for such a time as this. Karen is married to Doug, who teaches math part-time for community colleges and works as a pharmacy technician for Walmart. Reverend Karen Nichols Dungan balances her work with hobbies that include reading, horseback riding, sewing, traveling, and did I say horseback riding? One of the decisions I made early on was that this gathering of the annual conference would hear from their own. A leader who has a love for Christ that comes forth in her capacity to call forth the best of herself as she equips the saints for the ministry of the church. This memorial worship service is very important and unique. And to that end, we give thanks for all whom we honor. To that end, I am pleased to bring forth, to bring a word of hope, love, and encouragement, the Reverend Karen Nichols Dungan. Will you receive her?
Thank you, Bishop. Our starting text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 7. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with him and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Beloved Lord, this is holy time. We thank you for your life within and among us, for one another, and for the gift of this precious word. May this time of reflection and devotion fill us anew with you, and help us to give you glory. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love these two texts. The people who work with me will tell you, though, that I say that almost all the time. It doesn't matter what text it is. But how beautiful and rich they are with imagery. The mighty power of God showing through us, of all things. Mercy, grace poured out, abundance that carries on into the eons. All because of what God has done for us before Christ, after Christ, although Christ was in the beginning, was he not? And yet, as I was preparing for today, I kind of tripped on both of these scriptures. Well, not kind of. What I want to know is who gave the Apostle Paul permission to decide that while we're in the midst of trauma, we have to be examples of the faith. See, perhaps this is just reflective of my own development as a person of faith. But a little over 14 months ago, when my family and I were, my sisters and I were having to decide whether or not to put my father on life support, I can tell you that the question of how do I glorify God in this was about on my C list of questions to ask. It was nowhere on my radar. In fact, it never even appeared as a question in my mind until several weeks after the fact. Although, maybe there were glimpses. But I confess to you that as I think about what is missing in my life now, because my parents are now both gone, I feel it keenly, and part of it is preparing to be with you today, but also because we've had important family events coming, or they have happened and will happen. Youngest granddaughter graduated from high school a couple weeks ago. Oldest granddaughter gets married a couple weeks from now. And darn it, Dad should be there. I know he is. It's what everybody says, isn't it? But it's not quite the same. He was having a little trouble walking before he died, and we were joking with him that since the wedding was going to be outside, that we had figured out that we would take a wheelbarrow and paint it in the wedding colors and just wheel him down. That way he wouldn't have to be in a wheelchair, you know, because that would offend his dignity. But those little moments come, don't they? The loss happens, and even when you're at peace with it at the time, you know there was nothing else that could be. The person lived a long and full life, many things for which you could give thanks. It is still there, is it not? And it comes back to bite every once in a while. And for me, it's not usually on my radar to think about how I'm going to be a good example to others, especially not at the time when the worst of it is happening. All I know is that we have to get through what's happening right now. But then there are those times when the reflection starts to come, are there not? Where we even think about the night that Dad died, and the doctor, well, you know, doctors, sometimes it's hard to get a straight answer from them. No offense, friends, okay? But what's going on? What do we need to do? You need to make a decision, he says. So we pin him down. Tell us what we need to know to make this decision. But when we said to him, we know this is not your decision to make, it's ours, the way we saw him visibly relax. And then began a conversation that really was holy conversation as God worked through him to speak to us about what he saw. And then there was those nurses. Oh, thank God for the nurses. There's a special place in heaven where people take care of nurses instead of them taking care of other people, don't you think? Except for the problem is, there is, except for the problem is that since they're nurses, they don't want to go there because they've got people to take care of. Right? Thank God for the nurses. You know, the ones who tell you it's okay to make your decision, who hang with you, who make sure you have blankets to keep you warm while the ICU unit is cold and while you wait for the breath to pass and for your loved one to move on. And then there were those other things like the friends and the colleagues, the close co-workers who prayed with us. And then in the succeeding days, participated in putting together the leadership for the worship service to celebrate his life. The folks who said yes to me when I asked them to help, I'm still humbled by that. Amazing. And the neighbors, some of the neighbors didn't even know us, my sisters and I, but they brought us food anyway. They kept us in brownies for 2 weeks, and it was very good. Okay. And then those moments where you get a call from a family friend or somebody says, how you doing? You guys just doing okay? Okay. The serendipitous moments. And when I think back on the service itself, it was a beautiful service, but the most powerful moment for me was standing in the back, waiting for people to kind of settle into their chairs so that we could get up to the front and sit as family preparing for the service. And I looked out on all these people who were part of our lives, and friends and co-workers and neighbors and family, and I thought to myself, this is abundance. This is blessing. It was astonishing that in the midst of the loss, this moment of grace shone through people who were part of his life, who are part of our lives. And of course, all the times that come after that, when people just sort of check in with you and question whether or not you're telling the truth when you say you're doing okay. All those little moments where even for this person who had trouble saying, what am I supposed to be giving glory to God for? All these little moments that when I think back translate into glimpses of the grace and the love of God, the profound mercy that was poured out upon us at a time when life was not good and nothing that was happening was right, even though we know death is natural. Being given up to death while we live. What does that mean? We know that the Apostle Paul had some difficulties and a few little disagreements, small ones, with particularly the church in Corinth. And so his time of reflection upon his own ministry is, of course, where this text comes from. That the ministry itself brought hardship and struggle. And he says it in many ways throughout all of his letters. I count it as loss because of Christ. What does it mean to give glory to God when the last thing you want to do is to be a good example to others? I don't have a lot of answers, except I do know these things. I know that in finding the places where grace and mercy and love are poured upon us are the places where we can see the face of God and the presence of God at work. I know that the serendipitous times when someone remembers and asks are precious moments where God's love is evident. I know that in the times when I'm able to give thanks, I am acknowledging what God has done. And it takes a little time, doesn't it, to get to that place, not just at that moment, but then throughout our lives, for all the rich things that we have seen, all the wonderful people who have been part of our lives, those things that have passed away, when we remember them and give thanks to God, it changes us and God is glorified. As I reflect on my own experience and what I have seen in the lives of others who are close to me, church members, family members, friends, what I have seen is this. At least this is my own excuse for not doing better with the Jesus question at the time of hard decisions. What I have seen is this, that when we're living lives that cultivate a life in Christ, a winsome and deepening relationship with God, when we know the Spirit's presence in our lives, when we see acts around us that give us evidence of God's activity in the world, when we are cultivating that throughout our lives, what begins to happen is that we have this relationship that really doesn't need to be questioned in the rough times, even when we have our doubts and struggles. We can just lean on it, even if we're not aware that that's what we're doing. Even if that's the last thing we want to do because we're mad at God for a little while, it doesn't go away. And when we cling to that relationship, when we cling to that God who is the source of our life, the one who gives us breath and peace, even if we can't feel it in our bones, it remains like the close friend that comes up once in a while and says, "How you doing?" The relationship is not broken with God. In some ways, it's broken with the loved one, although they are still with us because we love them and they are in us. But God's mercy pours through us when we're able to see and to identify all the ways in which God has been visible to us, and in which that relationship has remained and grown throughout our lives. So that the times when the questions are hard and the last thing you want to do is know whether or not you're setting a good example for others who are looking at people of the faith and wondering what this is all about, it is that faith and the community around us that carries us. I think when we live our lives day to day, just like all those we celebrate and remember today, who gave their lives into the service of loving God and loving this world that God so loves, when we remember these folks and all that God has done through them, and think about their lives and their example, does it not bring us to a place of thanksgiving? And once you start, where are you going to stop? That's how the thanksgiving is increased. Because we have continued to trust, we've continued to hope, we've continued to give ourselves over into the hands of this one whom we really don't always understand or ever understand, and yet we know that in God's hand is our life. And that God is trustworthy. And so therefore, the life that God offers can become real to us when we're walking that way with the one who made us. And so, my friends, there are no easy answers, and I still have a few things to talk to the Apostle Paul about. And yet, in the midst of it all, to be able to come through it and to say, God is good because I've been able to trust God in the past, and God is good because I've been able to see what God is doing now, and I can count on that for the future because I have built a lifetime of trusting this one who made me. When people see that, that is also what increases thanksgiving. So at some level, we don't even have to do the work at the times we're in pain. We just have to remember to cling to the one who loved us so much that he gave his son to the world. We don't have to worry about being the great examples, because when we love God and others, that love will multiply and spread. So, my friends, may God's peace be with you, and may this time of remembering and all the times of remembering, the good and the bad, become for you the seeds that draw you closer to life, to Christ, that help you cling more closely to this one who gave everything for all of us. And just know with assurance that when you do that, other people will see it, and then they will give glory to God. Amen.
Let us stand and sing together the hymn of promise.
There is a flower in the seed, an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden fox. Butterflies will soon be free in the cold and snow of winter. There's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until it's seasoned, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. Beyond the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until it sees a something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until it sees something God alone can see.
Brothers and sisters, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace.